A little while ago, one of our young guys came in. Most of you know him as Dante. And he says, "You got any quarters?" "No, I don't have any quarters." I knew where quarters were at, but he didn't ask me that. And I think he asked a couple other folks, "You know, you got any quarters?" And I thought to myself, I was thinking about the man who was laid at the gate, beautiful. And Peter and John, they looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Now, I didn't do that because I'm not a faith healer, okay? The Lord can heal. But anyway, that's another subject. And I thought about Dante for a little bit. I saw him walk down. He came up and sat down at the piano and didn't say anything to him. You know, that's a $2,000-$3,000 piece of equipment sitting there. And okay, Donnie, just don't destroy it. And he just learned how to turn it on. And I think he was plinking at it for a few moments. And he got up, and I saw him go back. And he always goes to Kim and Francis. There's just kind of a little bond there. And I think people who are exceptionally ornery just gravitate to Francis. Anyway, no, I'm just teasing. But I mean, look what happened. I mean, Kim wound up being attracted to him. Anyway, I got to give her a hard time. But seriously, you know what Dante finds here? He gets in a lot of trouble, but I think also he finds that there's folks who care about him. I look at these guys right here. I've gotten on their case sometimes. Some of you have been in bad trouble. I can remember some of those times. Okay? And why are you going down farther? And look over these two girls who aren't paying attention to me tonight. Hello. Come on, keep it up here, okay? I'm talking about you, all right? And why do they keep coming back? You ever ask yourself that? Well, why do some of these kids do this? Why do some of these young folks, why does that happen? And I hope it's because they sense some sort of love and some sort of compassion. Your mom made you. Well, amen. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. But I think you also know there's some folks care for you. And I hope you know this too, that's what we're trying to do, is to give you the Word of God. Okay? I hope you understand that. And that's what we really, that's what it's all about. Amen? But I was thinking about these guys, thinking about each one of us, and how God somehow just draws us. He cares about each of us. Amen? Seriously, God, He's got His ways of doing it. I tell you, He does. I don't understand that always, but He's got His way of doing that. I'm going to look at a story tonight that's just very, very simple. You've seen it probably 100 times if you've been saved very long. Look at Luke chapter number 19, and we're going to look at Zacchaeus. How many know the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You want me to finish it now, don't you? Okay. No, thank you. You know, it's a nice little song, but it's a tremendous story. And as we look at this story, I want us to see something that's very personal in this story. How the Lord dealt with him personally. Chapter number 19. Let me read the first 10 verses, and this is a story here. Book of Luke chapter 19, verse 10, verse number 1. I'll get it out of my mouth here. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. All I can say is there, praise God. Amen. Verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. Notice verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you so much tonight for this, your precious word. Lord, I pray tonight that you just put a special blessing in each of our hearts. I pray, O God, tonight that we might see how tremendously important each of us is to you. That you would come to seek us out. That you would come to this world to live and to die. To go to the grave and to arise again that we might have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray that if there be one in this room that they've never really received that in their soul, tonight would be that night. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being kind to stand. As we read this story, we find there's absolutely no reason given for the curiosity of Zacchaeus. But I would venture to say something that he had likely heard. Evidently really tweaked his desire to see Jesus at any cost. Do you know, you never realize, you never know sometimes the power of your testimony to somebody else. I've been amazed at, as I've heard people talk about some particular thing that just touched their heart or their mind that somebody said, and it was almost off the cuff. And the person who said it didn't really realize the importance that it did in the life of another individual. And God uses many, many things to work in hearts and lives. How he got there, why he knew about it, I don't know. But he wanted to see Jesus. Now, as we look, we find there's two things that are in his way. One's the crowd. The crowd often gets in our way, don't they? And the other one we find is his lack of stature. He was a short guy. He couldn't see over the group of people. So he's got a problem here. And he took a fairly extreme measure to see Jesus. How many have ever climbed a tree? Oh, okay. Bill, you had your hand up. When was the last time you climbed a tree, Bill? Long time ago. Who else did I see a hand up? Tom, did I see your hand up? Well, last time you climbed a tree, Tom? Long time ago. You've climbed a tree? You going to say a long time ago, too? Okay. Don't tell me yesterday. I was thinking today. Come on, guys. Attention up here. I was thinking today when I was a little kid. And I was thinking about where we used to play football at. And right behind, it was between the street and the sidewalk. We played Super Bowls there. And then there was a sidewalk, and then there was this hedge, and then there was an empty lot behind that. And that empty lot had two, weeping willow trees. And in the summer, I was going to say we lived in them. That wasn't true. We didn't live there, but we spent a lot of time climbing those trees. Because you could look out at people walking down the street and what have you. And that was in the days when people actually went outside. You guys, I mean, this is probably beyond some of your comprehension, but this actually happened. I mean, years ago, people actually went outside and did things. And they didn't stay inside and watch video games all their life. Can I tell you, young people, why we didn't do that?
Yeah,
we didn't have any. So we went outside, we did all kinds of stuff. Anyways, I was thinking about, you know, that tree, and I was thinking, I wouldn't want to try to do that today. But here's a man. I don't know how old he was, but we find that what did he do? He climbed up in a tree. Maybe he looked and he saw this tree, and he saw some boys up there, because boys there climb trees. And so he got the idea, hey, I can get up there, I can see Jesus. Now, I got another thought for you. He climbs that tree. Had he ever seen Jesus before? We don't know, but most likely not. Notice in verse number 1 it says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Okay? And so he comes to this town. He had heard of him, no doubt. That's why he wants to see him. He's evidently heard some things about him. But does he know what he looks like? He climbs up in the tree, and here he is. He's looking, and you know, I mean, Jesus was traveling with several people, wasn't he? And perhaps he didn't even know which one he was. But Jesus knew him. Think about that, because what do we find here? It says when Jesus came to the place, what did he do? He looked up and saw him and said unto him. Okay? When he was there, the Lord Jesus, and stopped there, he called him down. Now, let me ask you this. Can you imagine the Prince of Peace? Can you imagine the Creator of the universe? I mean, think about it for a moment. Can you imagine him stopping and calling you? Now, for one, this might be a little embarrassing. I'm up a tree. And Jesus stops and calls me. But Zacchaeus, I don't think he lingers. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ called him and said to come down, we find in verse number 9, he made haste and came down. Wow. Boy, to have God speak to us. By the way, we have the Bible in which God wants to speak to us. Though we not hear the audible sound of God's voice, we can nonetheless hear by faith the wondrous Word of God. That's a tremendous thought as we stop and think about it. But we look here and the Lord God called him. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must what? Abide at thy house. I want us to think about the call that God makes to Zacchaeus. Because I think the call is very similar to each and every one of us. And you might be here tonight and you're saved. And you can look back and say, boy, God spoke to me at this spot. God spoke to me at that spot. But God, by the way, is still calling us in a sense. But I want to stop and think about this. The call of God. First of all, it was a gracious call. Zacchaeus was from Jericho. If we go back in the Old Testament, we find something about Jericho, and that is Jericho was a town that was cursed. It was near here, by the way, that a man had fallen among thieves and left for dead. So Zacchaeus is not from what we'd call a real reputable place. Secondly, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. One time in my life, I hope it's the last, I was called for an audit. I have no idea why. I had to take my stuff in. They looked at it and said, bye. I was very thankful. But I want to tell you something. I was nervous. I thought, why do they want to see me? And I don't get thrilled with IRS. Just my nature. How many of you do?
Oh, I can't wait for tax time. I just love these people. So.
No, I don't think that happens. Here's a guy. He's a tax collector. Now, let's understand something about these tax collectors. A little different what we have today. Well, maybe not. You know what they did? Give me a nice income you'd like to make. Don't be ridiculous. Just what would be a nice income? Well, in my book, that's ridiculous. But anyways, You'd like to, all right, I'll take you at that. You'd like to make $100,000 a year. Okay? If you'll tithe on it, I'm going to ask God to do that for you. Okay, all right. Here we go. You make $100,000 a year. And what are we going to find out that Uncle Sam is going to do? 10%? Let's go to the real world. Who said that? He's going to take half of it. Is she right?
Yeah, she's close to it.
33.5%? You haven't put on sales tax. You haven't put on state tax. You haven't put on property tax. You haven't put on all those other things. The gas tax. Oh, have you looked at your telephone bill lately? I mean, they have taxes there that aren't even related to the telephone. I think they have a donkey tax and telephone tax. They have all these things. And quite seriously, most of us are paying a little over 50% of our incomes in taxes. So here's what they would do in that day. I read just yesterday, Sweden, they take out what you owe. It's between 50% and 60%. The employer automatically takes it out, and you know, it's just, and everybody's just very, very cut and dried, and so forth. I mean, it's gone. And so they take out the 50% or 60%, what have you. In those days, it was a little bit different. You know what's different? The tax collector could charge 75%, and the Roman government, the soldiers, would back him up. If he came to you and said, you're going to pay 75% of that, in other words, $75,000, and you can keep $25,000 yourself, and you objected, you know who you might be dealing with? The Roman centurion and his 100 soldiers. And this was a common practice that day. So here's a publican. He's not a liked individual. He is from Jericho. He was also very rich. The Bible says that it is very hard for a rich man to get saved. Now, there's a reason for that, because they often trust in the riches. It's not because they are rich, it's because of what they trust in. But what do we find here? We find that God is no respecter of persons when it comes to dispensing His grace. So loving is He that He looks us up and calls us, who are all proud sinners, to come down. And the grace is available. It was a gracious call. It's not just to some. By the way, the Bible said, whosoever will. He wants all to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. I don't believe in selective salvation. I believe you and I have the chance to get it. But God has offered it to all of us. We also find this is very personal. He calls him by name. We find he called Lazarus by name. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He called Peter and John, Matthew, Mary. I mean, we find that. Today, something happens. It's always funny to me in some regards. I've had people say to me, preacher, you were talking about me in front of all those people. I used to deny it and say, no, that's not true. I wasn't thinking of you at all. And quite frankly, I probably wasn't, but they say, you were talking about me in front of everybody. And I just say, yeah, that's true. Evidently, God spoke to your heart, and you're guilty. And I didn't know who it was until now. Glad to find out. Huh? But hey, it's something personal that God is doing. Come down. That's the call He has. By the way, it was quick, hastening call. We cannot put it off to another time. Do you realize that when God speaks in our heart, that's the time we need to respond? I thought, it scared the fire out of me. Many years ago, we sat in a revival meeting in Seattle, and there was a man that was there. He was the father of two kids in my teen class. Mr. Gallagher was his name. And the little preacher was preaching. His name was Bob Eaton. Bob Eaton was just, he was the wee little man. And man, he would preach, and his arms would fly all over the place, and he'd see his head once in a while behind the pulpit. I mean, he was short, but man, God used him wonderfully, and had great service. And there was folks that walked the aisle, and Mr. Gallagher stood there. I saw him grip the pew in front of him, and held it so tight that his hands turned white. I mean, he shut off the blood flow. After a little bit, his daughter just couldn't take it any longer, and she whispered to her daddy, and she wanted him to get saved. And he just stood there and gripped that. And pretty soon his son said something to him, and he stood there. I don't believe his wife ever moved, but she had talked to him many times, and I know she was praying. And I don't remember if there was anybody else that walked up to him, but he stood there the whole time. He walked out of that building that night and did not get saved. I thought to myself, that may have been the only opportunity left for Mr. Gallagher to get saved. I thought maybe, and a whole other subject, maybe he had committed the unpardonable sin that night. And God would never deal with him ever again. I didn't know. About 2 years later, I found out Mr. Gallagher got saved. Praise the Lord for that. The last time we went out to Seattle and visited the church there, he didn't go to that church any longer. As a matter of fact, she had changed church and he got saved in another church. And he came over just because he wanted to see us. What a blessing it was. Hadn't seen him in years. And now he knew the Lord. Wow. God's gracious. God's wondrous. God has a hastening call. Don't put him off. Most of the Mr. Gallagher stories never happen. I stood in the hospital room over at Clarkson Hospital many years ago. I'd been requested by a family member to go over and see this fellow. I don't remember who it was. I don't remember who asked me to go. The man was dying. I talked to him about the Lord. I said, you need to accept Christ your Savior. He said, no, later. I said, you don't have later. I'll think about it later. 2 days he was dead. That's a sad thing. We only have so long. Amen? And so when the Lord says, come, we need to come. And when God speaks to us, we need to act. The window of opportunity doesn't always come. And by the way, our opportunity to serve Him passes us by so often because we don't jump in and do as we should. By the way, as I look at that call, it was a humbling call. He didn't say, go forward. He said, come down. I think about that. Come down from our lofty pride. Come down from our good works and our self-sufficiency. Let everything that supports us, you know, and holds us up above others be taken out from under us and come down. By the way, everybody could see it was up a tree. Everybody could see that it was supporting him. Just come down. And that's what you and I need to do. If the Lord is going to work in our hearts, we need to come down out of our pride, out of our arrogance, to let Him do so. And we find it was a tremendously affectionate call. Only love could cause one like Christ to say this to this man. This one who is holy to call one who is unholy. But notice also he says, I come down, make haste, and come down, for today I must what? Abide at thy house. Not just for the moment, but from now on. I must abide at thy house. You see, when the Lord wants to come in our life, it's not just for a passing moment. It is forever. He wasn't just going to look in, he was going to stay. I think people are looking for something, by the way, it's going to work over the long haul. They want something that's going to, what? Work from today onward. And that's what the Lord wants in our lives. He said, I must abide at your house. It must be me. There's no other way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nor the way of salvation than through the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I look and see something here that I think is tremendous. It was effectual. What did he do? What did Zacchaeus do? He came down. He came down. And Zacchaeus took him to his house. That's what Jesus wanted. What was Zacchaeus doing? Zacchaeus was operating under faith. Zacchaeus was doing as the Lord said in his life and following his directions. By the way, that's living by faith. Matter of fact, Zacchaeus, he said something that just absolutely astounds me, because he was a publican. They were known for their cheating. And yet Zacchaeus says, hey, half of what I own, I'll give it to the poor. Man, what has happened to me today? This means nothing to me anymore. I'll give half of it to the poor. And anybody I have cheated, he says, I'll restore him fourfold. That means that $25,000 he took from you, he restored fourfold. What's it worth now? $100,000. Take that time, several folks. But that was his intent. That was what changed in his life. That's what God does in the lives of individuals. And we find here in this text the key verse to the book of Luke, the key verse, I believe, of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he's after. Now I'm going to ask you, if you're saved today, are you in his work? If you're in his work is to seek and to save. We can't save, but we can seek with him. We can tell about him. Faith cometh by hearing, right? And you and I have the tremendous privilege to give this wonderful, great news that Jesus saves. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Thank the Lord that you and I have a God who calls us and says, come down. Now we need to get out of our pride and our arrogancy and all of those things and realize God cares about us. Quit propping our lives up with phony stuff, twigs and trees and stumps and all those things. Just come down and let Jesus abide in your house. That's what he desires. That's better than the $100,000. When Christ can abide in our house. Amen. He's good.